Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Celtic Now and for our podcast. This is a lockdown quiz night podcast with myself, Ryan Clifford, and once again on the panel is Robert Boyle. Robert, how's things, mate?
All good, thanks, Ryan.
Well, obviously, Robert, a wee bit of fun tonight, but obviously, big game tomorrow against Motherwell. Another 3 points up for grabs. So, again, we'll preview the game tomorrow. Talk about recent events that came today, and then obviously a wee bit of fun, wee lockdown quiz, wee bit of Celtic trivia quiz. Hopefully we'll get Sean Philbin coming on, play some music. If he doesn't get on as he's working, we'll get some of his recording on, give you some music for a Friday night. Obviously, Robert, good one against Kelly, the podcast all night. Motherwell tomorrow. Again, just need to, for me, keep a clean sheet, get 3 points. Your first kind of first impressions of the game tomorrow, Robert?
It'll be a tough test, Ryan. I think they won the other night. I'm right.
They've won the last two games, mate.
Aye. New manager, probably new style of play. Liam Alexander's coming. As you say, try and build the momentum, try and get another win and take it from there. Some good parts the other night. Some good play the other night. Just whether he goes with the same team, depending on what happens with Ayeti. Take it on and go for there, mate, and see how we go.
I think, obviously, a lot of media outlets and whatever else are saying to Lennon about building, and he's saying that it's game by game. And let's be honest, we are kind of building now, because as we've said yesterday, it's no mathematically impossible to win the league, but we all know it's going to be, it's a massive task now. Unless Rangers totally slip up, it's going to be very, very hard for us. We know that. So it is kind of building on for next season. I agree with you when it comes to, obviously, they've had a new manager, a new setup. I think they've changed the way of playing a wee bit. I don't think there is physical as a word under Stephen Robertson. I think Alexander's brought a bit more attacking wise from what I've seen anyway. I think in general, I think we just need to get the win. I think we've been through a lot of sticky spells this season. I think when we tend to get a good result, we tend to get a bad result. And I think we just need to, I'm not saying going 1-4-5-0 again, but just win the game. And I think it's not really meant to get the fans on the side. It's just more to keep us maybe interested in a way, because I think a lot of fans are losing interest this season.
Aye, Ryan, I think it's, as you say, one step forward, two backs, the way the season's been. As a whole, I think we really need something to push us on a wee bit, to maybe give us hope just to the end of the season. We don't know what's going to happen with the Scottish Cup. We don't think that's going to go ahead, even build momentum to try and get on with that. As you say, we've got to try and get some sort of run of games. We've got to give guys game time now, who's maybe not been playing. And let's see what we've got next season, because some of the guys, we don't know if they're up to it because they've not played enough. We're probably maybe a new manager in the waiting. He needs to see what these players are all about. Hoping what players he's got then to deal with. What he can then say, right, I can pick 4 or 5 there that I'd like to keep. The rest I'd need to sell. Big Edwards, got a bit of form again, which is good. Yeah, he got his goal the other night. another positive. You get a clean sheet, which is a positive. But knowing Lennon, he'll probably make four changes on Saturday. And that's that. Everything will just go back to square one.
But obviously, you're talking about changes. Brown came in the other night. Will he bring back Sorrell? Or will he do what I think he should be doing? Is doing what we thought the other night. We said the other night, he's just kind of, as much as Sorrell's played well, Brown's come in and played well. Do you change your team again? Do you change the consistency of the team after 1-4-0? Probably no. But again, I think I would just stick with the same team. Brown played well. I don't see why you would take him out. Again, Sorrell has been playing well, so I'm kind of glad I'm more a manager to make the choices in the park.
I thought he was a bit shocking to drop Sorrell. He did tell us it was fatigue, but the guy that's played 20 games isn't fatigued to me. He didn't look fatigued because against Hamilton, he was man of the match. All right, we get beat off some bum, but I think the team as a whole played bad. I wouldn't say it was just Sorrell's fault. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be the guy who's been kind of punished for the result. Obviously, Duffy as well. Let's be honest, Duffy deserved to be dropped. I'd like to see young Welsh get his spot in the team. Even Dean McGregor arresting, bring Sorrell in, I don't know. Just to freshen up a wee bit, because McGregor's probably played every minute, every game so far this season. We just need to kind of build momentum, mate. As we say, I don't look too far ahead and I don't get too excited. I don't get down after that. Then I just take it game by game, and that's obviously how the season's been, because if you get a wee bit of glimpse, you win a game, the next game seems to be a draw or a defeat. So he really needs to make the running as hard as possible for Rangers at the end of the season. You've got to put some sort of pressure on them, because we've not done it all season.
Aye, and just a wee quick note, guys. If you want to join on the quiz, just get a wee pen of paper ready. Say about 10-15 minutes, and we'll fire on with the quiz and get some music on for you as well. Aye, Rob. Obviously, Ayeti's retrospective action that get put up, which we're all laughing about. Obviously, Celtic's going to appeal it, and I think quite rightly, though, I'd like to think that it will be took away, because let's be honest, I know I said the other night as well that when I played, I was told if you could touch, go down. I was a striker. I classed it as good striker play. People might call it cheating, a diver, whatever, but I done it all my days. And I got free kicks and penalties. So I think a lot of other guys who played football would do the same. And people say it was a dive. I thought if you look at it slowly, you get a slight contact. So for me, simulations, when nobody's near you and you dive. So for me, it's no simulation. So for me, it shouldn't even been brought up in a situation.
No, to be honest with you, it's because of what happened at the other game. No, nothing to do with us.
Yeah,
I think it's you know what, we're going to punish the two of them. That was it. That's my whole take on the matter, is because there was contact. Might have been only a slight contact, but it wasn't as if completely dived, you know what I mean? He felt contact and went down, simple as that. And as you say, strikers do that, as we've seen throughout Europe. And I don't see anybody throughout Europe getting that sort of treatment. As you say, the guy got contact, he went down. It wasn't like a blatantly dive, like Martial in the Man United game the other day, where the guy pulls out the tackle and he flings himself. And VAR still managed to get the guy sent off and gain a penalty. We just need to take it in the chin. If it's given as a ban, if no, we appeal it, we win it, then aye, that's it. But to be honest, it wouldn't have made any difference. We'd have still won the game. It wasn't like we threw nothing each and he got that at the last minute to win us the game, like have happened a lot of times this season with other teams. Some decisions have been stranger than that, let's be honest. But it's good to see the guy get a goal there, mate. Hopefully it builds his confidence up. We'll take it on and start being, see how we got on against Motherwell.
I do agree with you. We've got a live comment for Christopher. I do agree with you when he says that the SFA can kind of try and balance things up, because let's be honest, Morelos should have got sent off, he got cited. Ayeti, ridiculous. He's excited. And then Roof the Day, he's excited, which we all know he was going to get anyway, because let's be honest, in general, some of these decisions shouldn't get cited. But the SFA have started this thing now where if they're going to cite one person for one thing, they need to kind of follow on. And I think that's a dangerous game to go in, because every tackle now is going to be, they're going to be saying get the compliance officer involved. And we know that the compliance officer isn't always somebody who's into football. It's just somebody in a job. So for me, it's going to be somebody who, in general, this isn't just the referees panel. This is in general for me, in any, if it's boardroom level, SFA level, it should be, there should be guys on the board, Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, the SFA, the rugby, cricket, whatever level of sport, that actually plays the game and knows the game. Because for me, you get fairer decisions when guys like, say it was me and you, and you seen a tackle, go, do you know what? He's no intended to hurt the guy, but it's a yellow or red card. You kind of know more, in my opinion, than it would be somebody just doing their job.
Yeah, I agree with you. See, when you look at Ayeti's right, and he's been cited for that, and I thought about a two-match ban. You look back to the game at Ibrox when Morelos was running a bit like a stolen motor, just attacking everything. And he gets cited for that. And they say, no, there wasn't enough evidence or whatever. He's stunning guys' backs. He's twanging people in the private parts. He's running about, as I say, he was running about a stolen motor, just doing what he wanted. And he seemed to get away with it. And then everybody says there's a vendetta against the guy. There's a vendetta against the guy because the guy's an absolute animal. Let's be honest. He's stunning in Porteous back the other night. He's Porteous five, sorry. He's just so easily wound up. And I feel, if a player constantly has to get cited and gets red cards, the only way to punish him is to increase the ban every time.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, then I don't feel the guy's learning much. No, just him, like any player. Like, for instance, say Scott Brown. Like, he's running about hitting people in the face. I'm just going to make this an example. Then, if that's there two or three times a season, I would increase the ban, double it. Mm-hmm. That's the only way these players are going to learn. They would not be running about and doing what they want, because it's all right in the game, it's missed, and then they go and get 3 points, or we go and get 3 points, you see, and then he gets banned 2 games later. But that guy's been influential in that game and got them the points that's needed, or got us the points that's needed. I just feel that side of it, they've got to be a bit more stricter, because the people at date seem to reoffend quite often. Just a wee point on that matter, Ryan.
I think definitely, because see, like, see, like, if I dive in a football game, I get kicked off the park. And I don't think that happens in football these days. I think guys know that if a day a wee fly, dig somebody, or the day they're a bad tackle, that they're going to probably get sent off. But I think it's maybe, I don't think, see, if it was crowds again, I don't think some of the sighting would have been happening, because I think the referee would have been more persuaded by the crowd. Again, this is just wee allergies I'm trying to get through, because they know it's been a weird season. It's been a weird everything. With referees, the games, and obviously there's a bigger thing happening in the world. So it's kind of hard times for everybody, I suppose, you know. And then obviously, Neil Lennon banner of the day. I think a lot of people, maybe a few guys are watching the live and might not know about it, but there was a Green Brigade statement the day, basically, and they put a banner up at Lennox Town, obviously saying Lennon out, and a statement saying how we've asked for change and it's not been given. We're going to basically keep doing it until we get change. I agree with putting it, I don't know if you agree with me, Robert, you can come back to me, but and any other guys who are watching the feed, if you agree with Robert, but for me, putting it in the training ground, I think it's the guys, the team are training, and they've got to see that. Do you really want the team to see more negativity? I don't know, they're already doing, and if they see banners against the Manchester again, they're just going out to do a training session before a game Saturday. I can see the pros and cons of it. For me, I'd have just kept it at the ground or out in the street or whatever. For me, the training ground situation, it's not for me, but for others, it might be their idea. I don't know what you think of it, but I'd rather do it at the stadium when there's more focused. Then maybe because you get it out in the media more often if you do it outside to make a point, but at the training ground, the press can't really go there. So it's only really going to be social media posts the press are going to take off people. But it's just my opinion. I'd rather do it in front of the stadium. It's going to gather. If you really want to make a point, do it in front of the stadium because it'll gather more progression. But for me, I'd rather do the change on a lesser way, but that's just my opinion, Robert.
It's a hard one, isn't it, Ryan? It's no easy to... I get why they've done it. There's the reasons behind it. I get it's been a lot of frustration. I think Neil Lennon hasn't helped him at all. I think Celtic Board hasn't helped him at all because they did tell us they were going to review things in the new year and they've just totally blanked the full support. And I get in lockdown and the frustration and they've already... I mean, it's, at the end of the day, it's the fans' club. It's no Dermot Desmond's club. No Peter Lawwell's club. It's no Neil Lennon's club. It's the fans who fight. It's the fans that have been there and the fans that will always be there. So I do get it. Maybe a different way of going about it, but again, the board and Neil Lennon's no help that. And they've already tried to go the nice way about it. So I think the more frustration, the more anger's building up in them. As all fans are at the end of the day. Let's be honest, they win the other night. Isn't he making life rosy and we're back on track and everything else? We've created a lot of history this season, but it's bad history, bad results. It's not the history that everybody expected and that the board and Neil Lennon tell us we were going to have. So I do get them. I'm no what to go to in it because I'll just sit on the fence on it because there's things I would say aye and there's things I would say no. I don't want people going, oh, but everybody's opinionated, everybody's getting their opinions. So, they know, I agree with it, but maybe not in that way. But again, what you're saying, maybe no way, just outside the ground, and maybe don't want to disrupt training because it's no nice for the players, but it's one of the ones we could argue for 2 years on it. I do hope there is change at the end of the season in the management side, but we'll leave that for another day, mate.
I do agree with it's got to go there. And he's got to see it, like a few guys I mentioned on the stream. I do totally agree. The board have got to see everything because at the end of the day, the fans, at the end of the day, cash is king. So if they're not going to pay season books, then Celtic's not going to have any money. The board are not going to have any money and they're not going to have the business that they want. Let's be honest, some guys will maybe agree and disagree. We need to remember that they're our football club, yes, and it's a sport, it's football, it's our Celtic, but the board, it's a business. Celtic's a business. We need to remember that we are going to lose players for better money and we are going to lose players for less money. It's just a business, but as us as fans, it's a club. And for me, I agree with some of the guys on the live feed and yourselves, Rob, that they've got to, they have seen every banner recently, they've seen it, but they've seen the good banners. Even recently, before the Rangers game, we were giving them the cheers at the hotel. Guys were even breaking the rules to go and see their team. That's how passionate the fans are. We just want to see our team. We want to see them do well. And I think there's ways. I don't think, maybe apart from one or two wee things that the ground happened the last time, I wouldn't say we've done anything ridiculously bad compared to what you see in other countries. You see Marseille and Italy, and they're throwing flares, they're throwing fireworks, and then but Celtic fans are getting criticised for it, Rangers fans get criticised for it, but when you go abroad, it's normal there. It's because we're not used to seeing our team, well, maybe a few other guys who are older than me might have seen Celtic not really doing well, and they've maybe seen the bad times and bad banners. I've not really seen much yet. Through my time, most of my time has been success. So to see balance, I'm not, this is all new, man. This is new. But I do agree with that. I do agree with that. We've all got opinions, and that's why we love football. Because I might say something, Ryan. People say you're Ryan. Robert, you're right. It's just that's why we love football. But I do agree with the banners that the board, Lobel's obviously leaving, and he's leaving different to Mackay, who Mackay's going to, as we spoke with the other night. It's going to be a big, big mess that Celtic's got to take care. And that's why I think Mackay, I don't know if guys watching in agree that Mackay, for me, he's got to, I don't know how his contact system is with the rugby, but I'd like to think he's checking in every so often, wasn't he, to see what he's going to come up with at the end of the summer, because come by Job, and I think we all the banners. I think they've got to see, the banners, but I, whether or no community training, maybe just leave it there. I don't know, but again, Robert, as I said, that's for another day. And then the last bit about Lennon, obviously he's presser the day. Have you watched it yet?
I
should remember, you don't watch the press conferences. So I basically was saying, like, obviously they're going to appeal for Ayeti's simulation charge. he keeps talking about next season. He keeps talking about the fans. We all know that the fans. The fans' pressure at a stadium is always going to affect the players. In our opinion, it's affected us in a better way, because when you're nothing each with 10 minutes to go, the fans will come on, let's go, let's get the ball, a bit of urgency. And I think I do agree with them that they are maybe missing that. But Lennon's talking about the fans. he's lucky the fans aren't in the gun, in my opinion, because I don't think we'd be in this situation with the fans. I don't think Lennon would be here. I think change would have happened, and probably after Ferencvaros, because you know what fans are like. Some fans might throw their scarves in the ground. Fans will no go to the games. Fans will no buy all these extras, your chocolates and your Lisbon Lions stuff, and fans won't buy that. And I don't think if the fans were in, it would have been steadier. I don't think we'd have get beaten the cup. I don't think we're a better manager at the helm beforehand. By Christmas, I think we might have even went and won at Ibrox, because we probably should have won in general. But I think that the nay show for the fans is actually keeping him in a job, because you know yourself, we've been chatting the bit for change, and the fans in the ground, I don't think we're anywhere near Celtic Park.
No,
he
wouldn't. Let's be honest, it's like,
you know,
I say, saving grace for his job in that matter. He's been lucky, should we say. He was lucky to even get the job again, let's be quite honest. But that's why I can't watch his press conferences, Ryan, because see all this crap, I'm here next season, this and that. I can't listen to that, mate, because I can go to the day happy. I listen to his press conference, it makes me angry. Mm-hmm. I can't listen to it, mate. I have to turn the games off before they can go on or whatever, because he wasn't acting like a Celtic manager. Like BBC Scotland, they walked away from the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you're not winning, whatever else, you're representing the club, you're representing people. You've got to be professional in your manner. You can't take strips and walk away in good moods and no answer questions and stuff. I know it's a lot of pressure as a football manager and especially Celtic manager, but he's getting paid handsomely to deal with that in the right manner. So that's why I just can't listen to him, because he's talking as if he's for the next 10 years, and I can't
ask
that, to be quite honest with you.
I think the longer, as I think Stephen's wrote in, the longer that he's here, I think we agree that the longer he's here, he's kind of, you don't want to get personal against him, you don't want to think about anything that he's done in the past, but it's going to ruin his legacy in a way. I understand that we can't win everything, because football turns, life turns, you can't win everything. We're not going to win trebles, we're not going to win leagues every year, but you've set standards, you've had a base to go on, and we've not followed it, and he's not continued the good work that was already set. But I just think that the longer he's here, put it this way, you see a lot of ex-players, your Suttons, your Thompsons, and whatever else, they all go to speakers' dues, they all go to that. Do you really think for a few years fans will go to his speakers' dues and stuff? I don't think so, because they'll be hurt. That's just the way fans are, and I think the longer he's here, the longer fans are going to kind of resent him in a way. And you don't want that to happen, but I just think that's the way life is and that's the way fans are.
I agree with you. It's like, you don't want to see him turned into, like, everything he's gave to the club and stuff, you don't want to see it then turn sour and people dislike him. But I think the longer it goes on, and the more defeats and the more draws and the further we fall behind in the league, then people do start to get angry and start to forget the good things. And that's just, and he needs to learn to sell. Like, I've held my horns up, which he did say would do. It's no working, I'll walk away, which he hasn't done. He's now then gritted his teeth and been arrogant and just went, nah, I'll turn this round, I'll turn this around. Tene and Houdini couldn't turn that round in it. All right, quite honest. So, I wanted, if we lost it this season, I wanted it to be tooth and nail. I wanted to give it. See if we lost it with 3 points, 4 points, 5 points, but we gave everything and we just got unlucky at the end. You go, applaud the team, that's it. But it's the shambolic way we've done it and everything that's happened. And it just looks like players have kind of gave up a bit, and I think that's been to the management. We'll get the best out of players.
I think everything is done. Obviously, complacency for the board and mismanagement, blah, blah, blah. But if you look at it for the start of the season, I don't know if guys who are listening to live feed in general, who listens to any podcast, no podcast, that Lending gave £15 million in the summer, roughly, which is a lot of money for Celtic, considering what we're going through the new in the world stage. We've got a pandemic going on, we've got people losing jobs, people getting furloughed. So we made a profit. So we can criticise the board, but when it comes to the money terms, we are still in profit for a pandemic. We're still in profit for Peter Lawwell's 17 years here. I think we're like £1 million in profit or something, roughly, give or take for his. So when it comes to the business side, it's all rosy. Fantastic. But when that's not on the park, that's not on the park, then the fans aren't happy. We don't care about financial sheets. Some fans might, but I agree that you care about what's on the park. As much as Rangers, you don't want to go the way Rangers went off spending money of no goal, and obviously going down the drain. You don't want that, but you want the product on the park to be good, and obviously at the board level you want it to be good as well. But I just think that he should be sacked. The board should have sacked him. I don't know which is it the fact that they need to pay him off? See if that is the case. They've just got £11 million for Frimpong. Just take money for that and pay him off. Because obviously, what Lenny says, that was in the pipeline for 6-7 weeks. So the first 6-7 weeks they get to get a price for Frimpong, and then say, right, we'll sell him, we'll give you, if it is your million, two million, whatever it is, then see you later. I just think something's got to give, and I don't want it to be the fact that, listen, a few fans might say you're wrong, but this might be more than 23 points, Robert, the way we are playing. We've all been playing well. And I can't forbid, it's bad to know, but I don't know how we would react. I just think there'll be a lot more banners than there is now and stuff like that, if that was to go the case. I just think that, but he'd be on end all for me. He should have been sacked after Ferencvaros. That was a game where he came out and how many players, and I think a lot of guys who have, even girls as well that have played football, when you get a bad response by somebody and you don't like it, and it's kind of criticising, targeting you, some players are different. If that was me when I played football, I took it to the chin and proved people wrong. Some other guys hide away from it and go up to the board or go to the assistant, my listen, I don't like what he's saying. I don't want him here. I'm not playing for him. That's just the way football works. And I understand that players day down tools these days. Players have got a lot of power these days. It happened to him at Hibs. Supposedly, I can't quote what happened. Obviously, rumours. Supposedly, players weren't happy with Lennon. They went to the board and they left. Is that what we need to do now? But I don't think the board's going to listen, because I think the board are set in stone. I just hope there's something big happening that we don't know about. If it is Benitez, if it's somebody that we don't know, that's in maybe 60, 51, the betting, who we don't know, like Brendan Rodgers was. I just think there's something got to give. And listen, I know it's mathematically impossible. It's not impossible in the league, because you're still get points to play for, but we all know it's going to be very, very hard. And we just hope this guy, Mackay, can come in and hopefully sort us out that he's done with rugby, Robert. But to be on end all for me is, if Lennon gets sacked in Ferencvaros, after what he says, in my opinion, we'd have still been close in the league. We'd have got a transfer window to deal with, and I think we could have salvaged something that we're not going to get.
The perfect time was after Motherwell, Ryan, because we had a 2-week international break. It wasn't done. And I think that's where the board made a boo-boo. We know with all what's went wrong, we're no daft. The supporters, we know exactly which man ran.
The fans are not there.
We're gritting our teeth now at the end of the season, because I don't see him getting back to anything before the end of the season. As much as that pains me to say that, it now looks set in stone that he's there at the end of the season. I just hope there's miracle work going on behind the scenes that comes all out before the season book renewals come out, because the begging letters will be coming out soon. Please renew, and we need to use more than ever through coronavirus, and it's a new era under Dominic McKay and all this, you know what I mean? I had that many letters off him, and it's sometimes they do get you with the letters to say renew, but you'd always, I always renew anyway. It doesn't make a difference to me. But I know that the letters sometimes try and sway people. We need you more than ever. They're going for, we need to rescue the league battle, whether they're going to hit you with one letter. Going to Saturday, mate, and watch it through the cracks of your fingers again and go for there.
Because obviously it's just, we could sit here for ages and talk about it, because there's a lot to kind of go through, and you can detail it all out. But I think that, see, once the players don't really respect you and don't play for you, we've played in teams where, you know, guys haven't liked the manager, they've actually just liked being in the team and they've liked playing with the guys they play with. But see, when I played football, I played for myself and my teammates. Obviously, you do respect for the manager, but you don't win for the manager. Obviously, like, you might play harder for a guy you respect and gives you G-ups and gives you the respect back that you deserve, but you play for yourself. And obviously, see, like, we're talking about how guys like Eduardo worth 40 million and Chalmers maybe 15 million. Obviously, his option to buy is 4.5 million. For me, is an absolute disgrace, because on his day, a lot of guys have maybe says to me that, Ryan, you're backing up Ryan Tree, but I think on his day, the Chalmers is brilliant. And we've got to, for the board, it's mismanagement, because as much as we don't want to sell our best players, see, if Edward's at his peak and he's worth 40 million, sell him for 40 million. If the Chalmers worth 15 at his peak, get 15 million from him. If Christie's at his peak, get 10, because at the end of the day, if we've got money in the bank, we can replace him. But if the value goes down, like Edward might only, due to coronavirus and he's formed it, we might only get 15 from him. Yeah. It's just, that's the way, like, Nancham, the option to buy 4.5 million, that's what we basically bought for. So you're making a profit on a guy that you should be getting at least 5-10 million for.
I don't think he's improved that great in the time it is.
No, I think probably
6-7 good months in a season. I can't remember him being absolutely outstanding and getting awards and stuff. As you say, it's on his day, but when is on his day? That's no enough. That's my Chams, and I know what I mean. He's a great technically gifted player, and I've heard all the rumours about how good he is in training and that, but it looks like to me one of the guys, you can tell us for 5 minutes if he's in the mood. His shoulders are sulk sometimes, his sleeves down at his hands, and he's holding his sleeves, and sometimes he just, as Lennon said, he's meant to have wanted it to sell for 2 years, so he said, just get rid of him.
See that?
And I would take that, because that guy will never, in my opinion, will reach the peak of his career, which he should have done. He should have owned much bigger and better things, but maybe the guy might screw him up. He's 24 or something, isn't he? So maybe he'll peak when he's 27 or something. Penny might drop then, but a guy like him, I'd rather have at the club, because he can bring others in when about him, and he's maybe on 12, 15 grand a week. And I see the point why guys like Ryan Christie, it's only 8 grand a week. Like, man, I'm in the team scoring goals and creating chances. I'm taking dogs abuse, and there's a guy sitting there on 12, 15 grand a week that's not even getting on the team. Why should I? Why should I want to stay here? So, guys like him can create a lot of problems at Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
You need to remember that.
I think Christie's getting 8 grand for every shot hits out of the bar. But obviously, the last wee bit, we'll talk about Christie. Christie, for me, he's got everything to go higher. I just think he's a better manager. I think, again, managers are better, because I think he obviously has got a brilliant shot on him, but I can say, you know, I've seen a few tweets on transfer deadline. He's gone to 2 London clubs, but London Sharks or Harlequins or something, the rugby team. But I do agree with another comment for Christopher Jackson. He says, when obviously McCann came in, and his message was Celtic to get the tap and whatever else to the message. It's been lost this season when McCann came in, get us to the tap, be the best team in Scotland, we'll go to this and do that. McCann came in and done what he done. Obviously, I was only a wee nipper at the time. I was only 8, 9 old or something at the time, so I can't really remember much of it. But we had a season where everything was built up for us. We had the finances. We've not really changed much for the team. Few players here and there. But it's just everything has been went wrong. And we've spoken about other podcasts, and I do like Christie, but I'd rather have Tumble and either Sorrow or even Brown in the middle of the park, and because we need wingers, and I hope Forrest is back soon, because I was one of Forrest's biggest critics. His stats tell me I'm talking rubbish, but for the naked eye, I just thought that he doesn't defend very well, and I think I keep getting back to the way Tierney and St Clair were. They worked brilliantly, and I think when it comes to the roof, Forrest doesn't really help the right back, but going forward, he's brilliant, and we've missed that. But I think, again, my better manager, where Wade Rodgers was, he defended better, and I think he came back into his old ways under Lennon, which I hope when he comes back, he gives us a bit more width, because we're lacking width when you play that diamond, in my opinion.
Sometimes, this is the thing, football. You've got to remember, some players are given specific instructions on a football park.
Aye, true.
And some people, like, say for instance, Lennon might turn around and say to James Forrest, James, don't come tracking back. If we win the ball, I don't want you in your half, I'd rather you're 10 yards in the opposition's half.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be what he says. And then if Forrest isn't tracking back, you've got fans screaming at the touchline. What's that wee FNF game, lazy wee, you know what I mean? And that's what they do. But you've got to remember, some people, the manager's telling them exactly what to do. Some people, like Forrest, will be felt, just hug that touchline and stay in the other opposition's half. Mm-hmm. And it might look lazy for the sidelines, but you've got to remember, it's all about coaches and all. That's what people need to understand a wee bit more about football. You know what I mean?
Aye. It's not just about, I think nowadays, I don't know if people actually know about all this, but a lot of my teams are dealing with data, and they're actually signing players off data, and they're looking at sports scientists has got a lot of data now. I don't know if it still happens at Celtic, but down south and stuff like that. If a guy plays something like 90 minutes, let's say for 2 or 3 days, some sports scientists say, listen to the manager, he can't train because he's not his optimum fitness. Sports scientists and data has taken a lot of football now. And I just think that we, because as fans, we don't know everything that happens behind the scenes at sports scientists and training runs. So we can all go with a naked eye, and we know that players get told certain things and certain duties on the park, and if I know then it, we just automatically blame. Like, see, the big example for me was under Rodgers with Craig Gordon. He kept kicking the ball out and he kept giving it away, but he was doing what he was told by the manager. He was doing what he was told to play the ball out wide. That was what he was told to do. He's kicking the ball at the park, and fans are grunting and, he's kicking the ball. But he's doing what the manager's told me to play. Ball for the back, and I think that sometimes you need to take that and go, right, okay, he's doing what the manager's asked, even though it's not coming off, it's not right, that's what he's been asked today. And I think we've sometimes got to take that, as you say, into consideration.
Of course you have. You've got some, like Craig Gordon, you could always tell Craig Gordon, wasn't it the most comfortable guy with a ball at his feet?
Mm-hmm.
But Rodgers made him do it. And that was it. He had to play that way, or he wasn't going to be in Rodgers' team. And sometimes he didn't kick the ball to the right person, or kick the ball at the park. People are going to have his head, but as a shortstop, he was good. So, you know, I kind of gave, forget him doing stuff like that sometimes with the ball at his feet, but it wasn't his game. And it never had been his game. He was always one just to ping it up the park. And it was a new thing to him. But you've just got to remember, sometimes that players have been given specific instructions, as I say, look for this under Rodgers, what he's asked up and down the line, but now under Lennon, kind of stays further wide and further up the park. But I think we're lacking a few wingers. I think that's been our biggest downfall this season. Natural wingers like Wee Forrest taking you one way, and maybe another winger for the other one. Maybe I like an old fashioned winger. Somebody gets the ball and gets by somebody, get a wee bit of pace, gets him down the line. And we obviously had that with Tierney and Sinclair, but we'll go to that now, and you can clearly see it.
Aye, there's a wee live feed here with John. He says McGregor needs a rest. I can agree with you, John. I think Robert might say the same, because he's played a lot of football the last 4 or 5 years, and the boy officer Scott Robertson, you mentioned, John, he's away back to Doncaster, but I think we've got to hear, maybe this is the time now to hear other guys' games. But obviously, Robert, last wee bit, Christopher says, do you think we're going back under the head coach route, like general manager, the way it was with Janssen and stuff like that? I think we've spoken about it, Robert, that for me, football's changing. I think we've got to maybe go to catch up to modern football. If it means our head coach and our director of football who just deal with the football side of it, like we've spoken about with Leipzig and Salzburg and all these German teams, they tend to do that. And let, obviously it's not Lowell, it's Mackay, and if it's Bankier, whoever else, let them deal with the money side and let the coaching staff and director of football, whoever it is, deal with the football side. You don't want it to, obviously you want them still talking together, but keep them separate, because I think that there's too much influence. And I think it was even the same with Rodgers. Some of these interviews, you could tell like he wasn't happy with a few things.
Aye, it's needing a director of football in case you get a good manager in, say he does a cracking job for 2 years and then we lose him. Whereas the director of football is in place all the time. He's got the structure of the club, he knows the club, he's maybe got the youth set up, all kind of like the Barcelona or Ajax way, with under-9s right through to the first team. It's a certain way we play. It's a certain tactic they play. It's a certain style of football they play. And that's how you develop players. You can't have the under-18s playing a 4-2-3-1, the under-23s playing a 4-3-3, and the first team playing a 4-4-2 with a diamond. It wouldn't work, because then these boys come into the team and it's like, oh, you've been playing defensive midfielder, we're running it for your right hand side of the diamond. You know what I mean? It needs structured on that side of things. Because Lennon's changed his tactics week in, week out this season, because he's obviously trying to find a system, but it's no helping the young boys that are coming in. If we've got any young boys that are coming in, Bob Walsh, obviously. And the goalkeeper. We need to have a structure in place to develop these young boys and kind of go, maybe have two tactics, say a 4-2-3-1, a 4-3-3, and that's the way the youths and the first team's got to go, and that's in two tactics from top to bottom. That way, if we get injuries and why the young boys are coming through, he knows exactly what he's coming to play in. He's not coming to a different tactic that he's not played before, or a different system he's not played before. You've got to have that side. It's got to be productive all the way through, the youths right through to the first team.
I agree with you. We've spoke about it in other podcasts we've done so far up to now, that the structure's a big thing for me now. If we had it under Rodgers, he was always going to watch youth games, he was looking at youth players, and for me, the structure's got to be set in stone. I think for me, the biggest one now is kind of Leipzig, the way Ralf Rangnick came in and just totally, he made them one of the best youth setups. They were selling players, buying players, and the structure was all the way through the club, and I think that's where we've got to be. Get the structure right, the recruitment right, get the board and the football side in the same level, because I don't know if we're on the same level. Again, we can only speculate as fans. We don't know the ins and outs. We can't even get a review, never mind we know what behind the scenes. And the review, we've done talk about that. When it comes, it comes. But again, I agree with you, mate. Stephen, is it a Frosty Jacks? Laura, what is it you've got?
Mena Brea. Italiano.
Friday night. Brilliant. Obviously, Sean, I know Sean can't make it the new guys. He might pop on. But obviously, Sean Philbin, he's on Spotify and Twitter as Keith Montrell. Some of you might have heard him. He does a lot of kind of him singing with his guitar, and obviously sings some songs that maybe some people don't like to hear, and obviously some Celtic songs. We'll play some of his recordings. We'll start off with one song, then we'll go into a few quiz questions, back onto some songs, and then we'll go back on to the quiz. This is a song called Give Me Joy in My Heart by Sean Philbin, aka Keith Montrell.
Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me peace in my heart, keep me loving. Give me peace in my heart, I pray. Give me peace in my heart, keep me loving. Keep me loving till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
As I says, guys, after this, we'll give you the link to Sean's music situation. He's got a few albums out as well, so if you want to listen to now while we're watching, it's Keith Montrell on Spotify. Get a wee subscribe and we'll go for there. Hopefully you're listening to it. Robert, off to the quiz. Start off with we'll go for three questions, mate, and we'll fire on for there, mate. Fire away.
Hiya. What's the Celtic's highest ever European attendance? So again, what's Celtic's highest ever European attendance? Question two. How many goals did Larsson score for Celtic in his career? That's his three answers. Is it 242, 179, or 202? Again, how many goals did Larsson score in his Celtic career? A, 242, B, 179, C, 202. Question three. How many trebles have Celtic won? Question three. How many trebles have Celtic won?
Right. Question four. How many goals did Super Duper Gary Hooper score for Celtic? How many goals did Gary Hooper score for Celtic? 82, 110, or 68. 82, 110, or 68. Question five. When does Scottie Sinclair, sorry, take that back. Who does Scottie Sinclair sign for before he went to Celtic? Who, in fact, I've made an absolute B-A-L-L say that. It's, who did we sign Scottie Sinclair from? That's what happens, you're live, you make mistakes. Who did we sign Scottie Sinclair from? And question six. How many appearances did Chris Commons get for Celtic? How many appearances did Chris Commons get for Celtic? So I'm you there live, I make mistakes, Rob.
Hi. The nervousness kicking in.
Right, guys, while we are getting some of the few questions that we'll give you, we'll put another song from Sean and then we'll get back onto the quiz. This song is called Follow Me, Follow Me.
Foxes have their holes and the swallows have their nests. The son of man has no place to lay down. I do not offer comfort, I do not offer wealth, but in me can all happiness be found. Follow me, follow me, leave your home and family, leave your fishing nets and boats upon the shore. Leave the seeds that you have sown, leave the crops that you've grown, and the people you have known, and follow me. If you would follow me, you must leave a ways behind. You must take my cross and follow on my path. You may be far from loved ones, you may be far from home, but my Father will welcome you at last. Follow me, follow me, leave your home and family, leave your fishing nets and boats upon the shore. Leave the seeds that you have sown, leave the crops that you've grown, leave the people you have known and follow me. Although I go away, you will never be alone, but a spirit will be there to comfort you. Though all of you may scatter, each follow his own path, till the spirit of love will lead you home. Follow me, leave your home and family, leave your fishing nets and boats upon the shore. Leave the seeds that you have sown, leave the crops that you've grown, leave the people you have known and follow me. Follow me, follow me, leave your home and family, leave your fishing nets and boats upon the shore. Leave the seeds that you have sown, leave the crops that you've grown, leave the people you have known and follow me.
A brilliant song there by Sean. Right, Robert, next set of questions, mate.
Hi. Who did Celtic sign Artur Boric from? Again, who did Celtic sign Artur Boric from? How many goals did George Cadetti score for Celtic? 38, 27, or 34? How many goals did George Cadetti score for Celtic? Was it 38, 27, or 34? Who did Celtic sign Jackie McNamara from? Again, who did Celtic sign Jackie McNamara from?
Right, next question. This might be a hard one for any youngsters watching. Who was Celtic's first Jamaican player? Again, who was Celtic's first Jamaican player? Next question, where did we sign one of the most fastest guys on the planet, Didi Agat, from? Where did we sign? What club did we sign Didi Agat from? Next question. Who and how much did we sign Chris Sutton from? But again, what club did we sign Chris Sutton from, and how much was the transfer fee? Right. Well, he's got your answers on that one. We'll get another song from Sean that he's recorded for us. And this is called Bind Us Together. Brilliant hymn by Sean. Just says, guys, these are all hymns that Sean sings with his guitar. Brilliant voice, and obviously his guitar is a skill that's very, very hard to do. As I said, you'll get his music on Spotify. We'll tag him on our Twitter page and Facebook. If you want to give him a wee DM, he'll maybe sort you out with some music. At the end, guys, we'll all go through the questions again in case you've missed any. And we'll hopefully get you through them. Robert, on you go, mate, fire away again.
Hi, how much did Celtic pay Aston Villa for Alan Thompson? Again, how much did Celtic pay Aston Villa for Alan Thompson? Question. Next one, sorry. Who did Celtic sign Virgil van Dijk from? Again, who did Celtic sign Virgil van Dijk from? Next one. How many goals did John Collins score for Celtic? Was it 55, 45 or 40? Again, how many goals did John Collins score for Celtic? Is it 55, 45 or 40?
Right, next one. Who is Celtic's longest serving manager? But again, who is Celtic's longest serving manager? The next one. Which player has scored Celtic's fastest ever goal? Which Celtic player has scored Celtic's fastest ever goal? And again, who is Celtic's youngest ever player to play for Celtic? Now again, who is the youngest player to play for Celtic? Now, while you configure your answers, we'll get another hymn from Sean. This one is called Walk With Me.
Walk with me, oh my Lord, through the darkest night and brightest day. Be at my side, oh Lord, hold my hand to guide me on my way. Sometimes the road seems long, my energy is spent. Then, Lord, I think of you, and I am given strength. Walk with me, oh my Lord, through the darkest night and brightest day. Be at my side, oh Lord, hold my hand to guide me on my way. Often bar my path, and there are times I fall. But Lord, you are always there to help me when I call. Walk with me, oh my Lord, through the darkest night and brightest day. Be at my side, oh Lord, hold my hand to guide me on my way. Just as you calmed the wind and walked upon the sea, conquer my living Lord, the storms that threaten me. Walk with me, oh my Lord, through the darkest night and brightest day. Be at my side, oh Lord, hold my hand and guide me on my way. That cloud my heart and mind, so that I shall not fear the steepest mountainside. Walk with me, oh my Lord, through the darkest night and brightest day. Be at my side, oh Lord, hold my hand and guide me on my way. Night and brightest day, be at my side, oh Lord, hold my hand and guide me on my way.
A brilliant hymn there. Robert, I think that's your last three next, isn't it?
Yep.
Go, mate, fire away.
How many times has Celtic reached the last 16 of the Champions League? Again, how many times have Celtic reached the last 16 of the Champions League? Next question. How many appearances did Paul McStay make for Celtic? Was it 580, 623, or 678? Again, how many appearances did Paul McStay make for Celtic? Was it 580, 623 or 678? Next question. What's the highest transfer money received for a player and who was it? Next question. What's the highest transfer money received for a player and who was it?
Right, this next one. What is the record points total that we have had in the league? Now again, what is the record league points total we have had in the Scottish Premier League? Next question. How many goals did Stylian Petrov score for Celtic? Now again, how many goals did Stylian, Stan the man, Petrov score for Celtic? And the last one, for me, David Tumble, what was his transfer fee? Now again, David Tumble, what was his transfer fee? We'll go through them all again, but last wee him for Sean, and we'll let you skip through your answers. This one is called Here I Am, Lord.
Of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my words to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord, of wind and flame, I will send the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will sing. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to him. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart.
A brilliant song there from Sean. Right, Robert, I'll get you to go through your questions, then I'll go through mine. Then we'll give the answers, and then we'll get another song to see is out from Sean.
Well, I just go through them all, Ryan?
Aye, mate, fire away.
Aye. What's the highest European attendance for Celtic? Again, what was the highest European attendance for Celtic? The answer is 136,505 fans was against Leeds United in the semi-final at Hampden. Again, the answer was 136,505 fans at Hampden against Leeds United in the semi-final of the European Cup. How many goals did Larsson score for Celtic? It was 242. Again, how many goals did Larsson score for Celtic? It was 242. How many trebles have Celtic won? The answer is 7. Again, how many trebles have Celtic won? The answer is 7. How many times has Celtic reached the last 16 of the Champions League? It's 3 occasions. Again, how many times have Celtic made the last 16 of the Champions League? 3 times. Who did Celtic sign Arthur Boric from? It was Legia Warsaw. Again, who did Celtic sign Arthur Boric from? It was Legia Warsaw. How many goals did George Cadetti score for Celtic? The answer is 38. How many goals did George Cadetti score for Celtic? The answer is 38. Who did Celtic sign Jackie McNamara from? The answer is Dunfermline. Again, how many? Who did Celtic sign Jackie McNamara from? The answer is Dunfermline. Next one. How much did Celtic pay Aston Villa for Alan Thompson? It was £2.75 million. Again, how much did Celtic pay Aston Villa for Alan Thompson? It was £2.75 million. Who did Celtic sign Virgil van Dijk from? The answer is Groningen in Holland. Again, who did Celtic sign Virgil van Dijk from? Groningen in Holland. Next one. How many goals did John Collins score for Celtic? The answer is 55. Again, how many goals did John Collins score for Celtic? The answer is 55. How many appearances did Paul McStay make for Celtic? The answer is 678. Again, how many appearances did Paul McStay make for Celtic? The answer is 678. And last question. What was the highest transfer money received for a player and who was it? It was Kieran Tierney, £26 million to Arsenal. Again, what was the highest transfer money received for a player and who was it? £26 million for Kieran Tierney to Arsenal. That's me, Ryan.
Right. How many goals did Super Duper Gary Hooper score for the Celtic? How many goals did Gary Hooper score for Celtic? The answer was 82. He was my idol at Celtic, so I had to get that question in for Super Hooper. Next question. Where did we sign Scott Sinclair from? And the answer was Aston Villa. And I think it was 25 million for Tierney. What did you say, Robert? 25. Aye, 25. We'll just say it was an extra £1 million added on.
I think the Barcelona finished they won the cup. I think it was the FA Cup they won. Celtic get an extra million, so.
Is it? All right.
Okay, that one. Right. If they go fourth in the league, in the Champions League places, there was extra money involved and all that. So if you come back to me when you know your facts.
Everybody's a school there. next question. It should be more than 26, it's been double that. The next question is, how many appearances did Chris Commons have for Celtic? How many appearances did Chris Commons have for Celtic? It was 227. I thought it meant that before. That was a lot of appearances for Chris. In fact, I think I missed out a question, that's what I did. Question 4, I missed it. I'll see it here. It's a bit of a mess. Want me to put it in? No, I'm on black coffee.
You drink tonight, or is it me?
I'm on black coffee, mate. I'm after that.
I think it's an Irish coffee.
I wish it was. Right, I'll leave the question for, because some of you might not be able to know. Question, the next one is, obviously, it was Celtic's first Jamaican player. Who was Celtic's first Jamaican player? I think somebody wrote it in the comments. Yes, it was Gil Heron. It was Gil Heron. I think it was like 1950s or so, well before my time. Number 6, from my questions anyway, number 5, so I missed out one. Where did we sign one of the fastest guys I've ever seen on the planet? Didi Agat from? I think somebody said in the comments, yes, it was Hibs. And I think Robert was about 300 grand or something on it. Very, very cheap.
50 grand.
50? There you go. I don't know what a pulp for you.
50 grand for Roadrunner.
I was Commons at 300 grand, wasn't it? Hey, Derby.
Commons was 300 grand for Derby and he scored after like 12
seconds.
Free kick, remember he came on? Had a free kick.
That's one of the questions, man.
Oh, is it? Oh, shit, sorry. Sorry, mate.
It's all right. I hope nobody heard that there. Brilliant. And then what did I say? Where did we sign the big man Chris Sutton from and his transfer fee? Where did we sign Chris Sutton from and his transfer fee? We all know it was Chelsea and it was £6 million. And at that time, a lot of money. And I think that's me, Robert. No, it's not with you, don't know, haven't you? Next one. The longest serving manager at Celtic. Stephen's laughing at this man. No one done, mate. So what happens, you're alive, man. You can't do anything about it. Longest serving manager at the club. See it again. Longest serving manager at Celtic. That was Willie Mairey of 43 years. Very long time. You don't really get that. And I think the closest to that was Alex Ferguson, wasn't it, Robert? It's a long, long time at a club.
Wait, 3 years, I think, at Man U, wasn't it?
A long time, man. Next one. I know. Celtic's ever fastest goal. If you didn't hear what Robert says, who scored Celtic's fastest ever goal? It was Chris Commons. It was 12 seconds, 0.2 against Aberdeen. I think it was a cup final or semi final, wasn't it? Hamden. His debut, wasn't it?
I was thinking his debut when he came on after the bench up at Aberdeen. He scored a free kick, remember? His first touch of the ball.
Aye, but it says, I'm just going by Wikipedia and he says it might have been his debut. Aberdeen, wasn't it?
It must have been 12 seconds
when he came on then. That's maybe what they've said it for. Again, I'm on Wikipedia, so I don't know. That's for now. Number 10, who was Celtic's youngest ever player? Who was Celtic's youngest ever player to play? If you're talking friendlies, it was Islam Farooz. He was only 14, so it wasn't competitive football, but according to the old Wikipedia and the old internet, it was Jack Aitchison. He was 16 years of age and 71 days. I think they barely 16 as well, but I think he's a bit older. And the last one, the record league points total that we had at the club, Celtic in the league. The record league points in the SPL, it was either 97, 102 or 106. And it was 106 league points. Obviously, it was under Rodgers, where we'd done everything that we could domestically. Obviously, guys, if you've got some, if you go to any right, if he's even fire your photos into either me, Robert, or the page, and we'll try and see who's the winner. If he's got a prize, we'll try and use a prize. If not, it's just a bit of fun. We've got one more wee song. I think I'll maybe even do a wee Celtic one. I'll have a wee look. I'll get a wee Celtic song. No, I think we'll stick with hymns because I think people are enjoying the hymns. This one is called Our God Reigns.
How lovely are all the mountains are, the feet of him who brings good news. Of the earth, see the salvation of your God, Jesus is Lord. It is love before the nations, he has bear his holy arm, our God reigns. Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns. God reigns.
Brilliant. As I said, guys, hope you enjoyed the wee quiz and obviously a wee bit of music, some hymns to kind of, obviously it's, I've not got a lot to do at the moment. So again, hopefully we'll be doing lives on a future basis, podcasts, and we'll do wee things like this. And obviously, off time off to obviously entertain you. Again, there's plenty to come from us. Obviously, once lockdown's over, we'll be able to do a lot more. But we'll continue to obviously give you some, a wee bit of banter, a wee bit of smile. Obviously, we're going through a hard time as a country and a world now. And if me and Robert can give you a half an hour, 10 minutes of laughter, then, I mean, Robert, it's just good to kind of, for ourselves, keep ourselves busy and obviously talk about the club we love, Celtic.
Hi, Ryan, of course. Quite enjoying it, to be honest, in lockdown. We started this not long ago and we're starting to enjoy it and we just like to hear people's feedback on it and what people think. We're just trying to grow it and we're just being general Celtic supporters, talking what everybody else talks. Try to give your views on things, whether you agree on it, whether you don't, that's up to people. We're just glad that people tune in and we can hope we can give them a laugh and some of your knowledge, well, we think this knowledge when Celtic. Just appreciate you listening in, people, and just hopefully we can get back to being the old winning ways of Celtic.
Aye, I think it's just, it's very hard at the moment, obviously. There's not a lot of stuff to do and me, myself, I go on Facebook and Twitter and you see people doing lives and it's good to watch. So if we can bring anything, then I'll be happy because obviously when lockdown's finished, guys, we've got a lot planned. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do, but we've got a lot of stuff planned and I think it's going to, it'll be a lot for you to enjoy. Me and Robert and the guy behind, obviously, the website, we've got a lot of plans on what to do. If it keeps us rolling and brilliant, obviously, if our knowledge, if you agree with it, if you don't agree with it, I don't know. I like to think I talk a wee bit of sense through, obviously, playing football and obviously watching Celtic. Robert, I think giving me a day on this is just, it's just, we're just fans seeing our view. We don't really know much about, obviously, what goes behind the doors. We don't know much about sources. We just talk what we believe in. We're getting guys like Claire and Jerry on our night. We've got other guys coming on, I think, but it's just good to have fans speaking their opinions.
Yeah, definitely. We'll try to grow it as a bigger podcast. We've got a YouTube channel, so we'll just try to give you our views, Ryan, and speak as normal supporters, but probably guys speak about every Saturday after a game in a pub. It's all about opinions, it's all about views. Some are right, some are wrong. We don't know. We all just want to talk about what we do is we love for the club and where we think's gone wrong, where we think's gone right, and what we think we could do to change it and what we think we could do to make it better as a fan base. So that's just our views and just hope people enjoy it. And I'd like to hear people's opinions. More than happy to let us hear your opinions on the page or privately, then be happy to hear.
And obviously, as Robert says, we've got a YouTube channel, Celtic Now Forever. We'd like to, if possible, if you like what you've seen so far, what you've seen the page, and obviously the podcast we've got on Spotify and obviously Apple Podcasts, give us a wee subscribe and a wee like, and give us some interaction so we know if we're doing anything right. Obviously, Spotify, Celtic Now Forever, it's on Spotify as well. I'll put it on the Facebook. One of the guys just put it on the live feed, the YouTube the link. We'll get Sean Fulwin, we'll get his details for you on the Twitter and the Facebook, and we'll hopefully you can listen to Sean more often because he's a brilliant singer, brilliant guitarist, and he does a lot of hard work. Robert, I'll be on tonight. Hopefully we'll get 3 points tomorrow. I've enjoyed your time, mate. Good laugh, considering that we've made a few silly things with regarding the me missing questions, but it's live, so it's always good that we can naturally on it. But again, Robert, hopefully get 3 points tomorrow, and then we'll review the game. We might do a live after on Saturday. We'll see. If not, we'll do it again during the week and we'll let you kind of get your thoughts and then we'll do it again. Robert, have a good night, mate. Keep safe. And as usual, mate, we'll see you again.
Cheers, Ryan. Thanks. Bye.
And thanks for listening, guys. And hail, hail. See you later. Cheerio. Good night.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. To fly.